Hello everybody and welcome back to Discerning Consciousness. I'm your host Ant-Man and I'm delighted to invite my first official guest onto the show. Mike, it's a delight to have you back. How are you? How have you been?
It's been an interesting journey, put it that way.
Yeah.
Lots of trials and tribulations, you know, ups and downs, but that's what life's all about,
yeah,
I guess.
Absolutely. You know, can't have it too easy, can we?
Yeah.
It'd be boring then, wouldn't it? So, again, welcome everyone. Today, you join us for episode 20, which is called The Simple Path. So it's quite a grand title, and not in a way, isn't it, Mike, really?
Well, it depends how you make it up in your head, you know, if you build it up to be a big thing.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. So, in essence, what we're talking about today is this idea, the general theme of the show, discernment. What we're talking about is how to live a life of discernment, and quite often that means living in a simple way, doesn't it, Mike?
Well, it helps, I can tell you that.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I'm guessing you're on about just stripping away all the extras that we think we need in life.
Sure, yeah.
Boiling it down to its base components.
The essence of life. What is the essence of life? So hopefully we'll give our listeners some sort of grasp of what we mean by that, really.
You know,
I mean, it can be a difficult thing because it sounds, simplicity sounds, is kind of a little bit cliched, isn't it? So what do you mean by that, people will say, you know, because we live in such a complicated world, and as we've discussed on Discerning Consciousness before, in terms of propaganda and social conditioning, a lot of that's quite deliberate, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Like you say, the word simple is viewed negatively because simple people, you don't want to be simple, you want to be smart.
Absolutely.
In that respect.
And as a culture, we venerate, you know, the academics, the scientists, the people who have an understanding of complexity, if you like.
Yeah.
So what we're talking about really is to cut aside everything you don't need, sort the wheat from the chaff, and then hopefully this simple path will emerge.
And like you say, be discerning about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. So the first one we'll talk about is this idea of authenticity. You hear it a lot, don't we, Mike? Our listeners will be well aware within the spiritual new age, truth-seeking field. You hear it, don't you? It's bandied around a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's all about being oneself.
Yeah, absolutely. And recognizing that, you know, although sometimes it can be difficult to be yourself because the culture and society is trying to push you in a certain direction, normally towards conformity, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you have to be quite brave and to stand out there and be authentic. I mean, it's another one of those words that is, as I said before, is bandied around a lot. It's very hard to be authentic.
Definitely. And it's most hardest to be it in the workplace.
Yes. Yeah. Again, as we've discussed in the previous episode on Discerning Consciousness and work, where, you know, you're having to do things that you obviously wouldn't do unless you're getting paid. There's all these hierarchical structures going on. So it's very difficult to be authentic in such a setting, isn't it?
Definitely. I mean, it's easy to be authentic in front of your friends, people who know you. You know,
sure.
You don't care about what they think of you,
sure.
Almost. Because
you've
already passed those hurdles.
Sure, yeah.
But as soon as you get into the workplace, suddenly you're judged.
Yes.
You know, being authentic, suddenly you're a difficult person in the workplace.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's like the mask that you may wear in the workplace is going to be a completely different mask when you are out with your best friends, kind of things. And that can make us feel quite fractured when we, you know, shift between these masks. And I believe there are three main masks, aren't there?
They say that, yeah.
Yeah, sure. So we'll just move on now to the idea of creativity. Again, because it's closely linked with being authentic. Get that word out. But because in order to be authentic, you have to live with a sense of passion, don't you? You have to really... to live your destiny or bring forth your unique skills and talents in a way, and that is obviously linked to being authentic, isn't it, as well?
Definitely. It's all about living the life you want to live, doing what you want to do. Because, like you say, it's the things that make you passionate about life. Those are the things that you should be doing all the time.
Yeah.
Because they energise us. They give us energy by doing them.
Yeah.
So instead of coming home from a day's work and feeling exhausted doing what you don't want to do, you know, you'll be invigorated by it.
Absolutely, yeah. And how this links to simplicity, quite often, If you are on, if you're living simplistically, it can be that it's the creativity is the conduit for that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like channeling what you need to, and sometimes you don't even need to know exactly what you're doing. Because it just like comes forth. If you know what I mean.
So I'm thinking in terms of creative types like artisans or people like that. They do tend to live quite simple lives, but they're very soulful and enriching, aren't they? Because you know, as we're saying, they're doing what what their passion is.
Yep.
What enlivens them. They're definitely not in the system. They may well be getting paid for what they're doing. They might not, but there is this sense of they are being very authentic. So. I like the way in which the idea of being creative and obviously authentic, they link, they're very closely linked, aren't
Definitely.
They?
Definitely. I mean, it's all about the struggle to find oneself and
Absolutely.
To be oneself.
Yeah, and that is the key element of, discovering the simple path. Another word that is bandied around a lot, again, in terms of personal empowerment, is this idea of being sovereign or sovereignty, Mike. And I don't mean sovereign as in nationhood or monarchy, as I'm sure our listeners are well aware.
Yeah, but it's the idea that we have our own power. Mm. And in a way, we are kind of all powerful in that sense. But we need to learn how to be ourselves in this world and live within it. Mm. And not to get overwhelmed by everything.
That's a great description because it fits in perfectly to my idea of I think it's ridiculous the fact that we have to pay to be here in this world, you know what I mean? We have to pay taxes, have to earn a living, we have to get all these certificates, these authentications, when actually, like you say, we are part of the divine, so we are part of the Godhead, if you are right, because, you know, we have that source, that divinity.
We have that connection.
We have that connection, because we are sovereign. And again, I think the system, what the system does to us is makes us believe that, well, that's just fanciful thinking. We're just common, everyday people. And really, as we know, we have this immense power. But it can be difficult to embody that or recognise it, can't it?
I mean, I would like to sum it up in the term of self-sovereign.
Yes.
You have power over yourself.
Yes, dominion, if you like. Yeah, absolutely. And that's where you have that ability to recognise when you might be falling into negative behaviour patterns, but not kind of like beating yourself up, not letting your saboteur win, if you like, all the negative aspect of the ego. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that always kicks in at some point, doesn't it?
I think we
wish it wouldn't.
Yeah, I think we can. That's for all of us. That's one of life's harshest lessons. So, moving on again from the idea of sovereignty and personal empowerment, we're going to talk about some aspects of those who live a simple life in a very real sense. So, people like preppers. Or people who live completely off-grid, the Amish community springs to mind, or people, even in the UK, there are lots of so-called alternative communities where they grow their own food, and I know you can pay to be a part of these groups, or, you know, alternative groups, whatever you want to describe. So in a way, they would argue that they are living the simple life. It's not something that's ever, personally, I've been drawn to. I mean, I might too in future, because I'm very much aware of you're going into something as an outsider, and you've got to be aware of, well, the group will be very much, the shape of it will be very much about the consciousness of those people who've set it up. Does that make sense?
Definitely.
So I think if you are someone who's interested in joining one of these so-called alternative groups, and there are many in this country, tend to be self-sustaining, another, you know, very common phrase, or abroad, it's kind of like think carefully before obviously you make that move, really.
Yeah, definitely. Make sure it's right for you. Don't just jump into it.
Yeah.
But I would say when it comes to ways of living your life, it's all about how much you want to be part of the system.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, how much do you like the trimmings that you get for living within the system? Because I have to admit, I don't think...
Some might call them the inducements.
But honestly, I don't think I could ever quite live totally off the grid. No. I still like the bonuses you get from having stuff like internet connections.
Sure, yeah.
You know, I like the idea that I don't have to go and get water from a river, say, in the morning. You know, it's having hot water straight away. These are bonuses that I have to admit I still enjoy. Mm. I'm not prepared to give up yet.
Yeah, because that links really well also. So what we're talking about in simplicity isn't necessarily this idea of completely opting out of society, isn't it? You know, just being someone that says, right, okay, I'm going to find my shack and I'm just going to completely remove myself. I'm not going to have any contact with anyone apart from animals and nature. Actually, that sounds quite good. No, but what we're talking about is honing your consciousness and your discernment within a type of system. You know, it might be an alternative community, as we just spoke about, somewhere in a kibbutz or wherever it might be. Or, you know, in the job, it might be in a job that you don't particularly like, but obviously you are working, you know, you're working towards a situation where you're doing something that is soulful. I know Mike and I are both working towards that situation.
Trying to get there.
Along with a lot of our listeners. And it can be quite difficult at times, because I know for both of us, how we feel is, if you have a sense of your destiny, or you have a sense in which, you know, you do have certain skills and aptitudes in certain areas, but you're not bringing them to the fore, or you're not, how should we say, earning an income from that, it can get you down, can't it?
Yeah, definitely. And that actually links back to the whole, you know, living your passion again.
Sure,
making sure what you are doing for your income is what you want to be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's what you're here to do.
Yeah.
Because that way it's, you know, aligning with the way of things.
And also, I think if you've been, you know, like us, done many years of studying into the nature of existence, be it from conspiracies, ancient history, or all the different aspects of that, and you have a sense in which how the world operates, the nature of existence, right? That can weigh heavily on you, because I know certain types of people, we were talking about this earlier, they go to work, they do the 9-to-5, but they're okay with it, at least on a conscious level, because they haven't done all this study of the esoteric or, you know, the deeper meaning of existence. So they're in the hamster wheel, but they only think the hamster wheel exists.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So they're not burdened with this idea of a greater aspect to existence. So I think, you know, the kind of the nature of work and how it impinges on us in terms of our time, and it doesn't leave us much time for creativity. I don't think it affects people like that as much. What do you think about that?
I'd agree with you on that one. But it's all about what they want out of life at the end of the day. Because sometimes that's all they want.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But I have to admit, it's not always the case, though, that the more you know, the more you want.
Yes.
The more you're capable and the more you want to do, sort of thing.
Yeah, sure.
You know, the grass is always greener on the other side situation.
Absolutely.
Where they say no boat is ever big enough to put all the gold in you need.
That's absolutely true. Yeah, and I know from past experience I've got quite angry with these kinds of people that, you know, in the whole conspiracy truth seeking world, they would describe them as the sheep, and we've spoken about this before on Discerning Consciousness. It's not to be arrogant, it's not to be, you know, conceited, or not to, you know, not to get angry, because I know I have in the past, and we're back to this whole thing about waking people up, but it's sometimes I wish, I think I could have this spell of going back to sleep and not knowing what I know. And as I say, as we both would agree, and the listeners probably, what I know is that I don't know very much, because the more you, I know it's become a bit of a cliche, but it's so true, isn't it? The more you know, the more you realise you don't know.
Yeah, so true. So much is not understood at all. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I'll agree with you on that one. At one point, I thought I knew it all. I was like, yeah, I think I've got a grasp on everything.
Yeah.
Oh, no, what I know is nothing.
Yeah.
That is just a small part of a major part. And
And just lastly, on this point on going off grid, I saw an article in the dreaded Daily Mail yesterday, I believe it was. I know, terrible. I looked at the Daily Mail. And there was an article in there about how quite a lot of the techie millionaires and billionaires, internet pioneers and such like, I think the founder of Reddit, is it Reddit?
Yeah.
Was on there in the article talking about how they are buying up land and properties in New Zealand ahead of a so-called apocalypse. The ultimate off-grid, isn't it, to have like your millionaire mansion in New Zealand. Now that's how I'd like to be off-grid. Preferable to a shack in the woods.
No, I have to admit, I'm not surprised. They do say Australia is the safest place to go if anything happens.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So next thing we want to talk about, really, with this idea of living a simple life, whilst you're on the simple path, is the notion of gratitude. Of course, it can be very easy in our day-to-day lives when we have a lot of responsibilities to forget, you know, the power of gratitude. Because what I've noticed in the past, when I've written down or taken a little journal, because I know in a lot of these sort of self-help books, they advise you to write down, you know, things that you're thankful for. What I've noticed is once you start that process, then more things come into your consciousness for you to be grateful for. So it's like almost becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy. What's your view on that, Mike?
Well, I have to admit, I've looked into this whole gratitude thing.
Yeah, it's big, isn't it, again, in the spiritual world.
And I think it's actually got something to it.
Yeah.
The only problem is I do struggle with this one.
Is that because you're cynical like me, Mike?
quite. So, yeah, I'm working on it. Yeah. But I do think there's a lot to it. And I think it's a worthwhile thing to practice.
Yeah, because I think it can be quite easy to take, as you were talking about before, all these comforts that we have, particularly in Britain, in a Western life. We did take it so for granted, don't we?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I mean, like, if electricity went off tomorrow, if the hot water goes, if the water supply stops, God, I wouldn't know what to do.
You know, we get all angry if the internet goes slow for a few minutes.
Slow internet is the worst.
Let alone no water or electricity to power the internet. So I think that's one that we can all work on. But certainly in terms of the simple path, you know, it's a key component, isn't it, to have... especially when you're going through times of crisis or difficult moments, just to have that gratitude for your life and the things that you have in it.
Well, I think the idea that gratitude is so amazing is that it tries to get you into a place where you don't care about having extra stuff.
No.
We normally are in our lives.
The consumerist lifestyle, yeah.
We actually take that moment to be thankful of what we do have, and then suddenly we appreciate what we do have so much more. Well, that's the idea anyway.
Yeah, I mean, very simply, you know, if you have good health, to appreciate that, it can be so easy to be dismissive of that. And, you know, and a lot of people in this world aren't blessed with good health. So, you know, something as simple as that is what we should be grateful for. But I think, as you were saying before, Mike, it's something that we all need to work on. Because we are very, especially in the West, very complacent in that way.
Well, we're brought up in a society that's always about more, 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 new, more, new. So, yeah, to take a step away from that is definitely a good direction.
And as we've discussed before on Discerning Consciousness, we're kind of reaching the end of that more, if you like, needing newness, needing novelty all the time, because we're almost reaching the limits of that now, aren't we?
Yeah, it's getting close.
In terms of the damage that we're doing to the planet and such like, yeah. Linked to gratitude is this idea of humility. For me, personally, I think a key component of simplicity is living quite humbly, you know. Not being, say, like a stupid saint that, you know, people just take the mickey out of and, you know, you take on everyone's burdens with this sort of humility and it becomes quite nauseating, but just humility in terms of, you know, your own place in the world and other people's, and being respectful of that, if that makes sense. You know, I mean, I think if you have ideas, bigger ideas, like we like to talk about quite a lot, you can get a bit up your own arse, so to speak. So, to induce a bit of humility into your existence, I think
everyone could do it doing that. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe I think at times I'm too humble. What would you think?
Just a tad.
Right. So with this idea of gratitude, one way in which I've found you can try and harness or embrace gratitude is to be in nature, because you can realise the gratitude of just this amazing planet that, you know, that we're living on.
Well, yeah, and just being in nature is healthier for you.
Yeah.
And being around trees especially. And just getting out from the hustle and bustle in the city. I mean, there are so many good things for you doing that, in terms of the reduction of noise, the increase in oxygen from actually being around trees.
Yeah.
And just the sounds of nature. Is going to have a nice calming effect on you overall.
Yeah, because of course the energies are much more subtle, aren't they, in nature, less chaotic than out in the urban environment. And of course, we can embody that if we're in nature for long enough.
I mean, they've done psychological studies where they found out that people aren't designed to live in the city.
No. It is a very fake kind of environment, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I mean, most people now in the West do live in cities, so it can be difficult at times to embrace, nature in your existence when you're trying to live simply, can't it?
Definitely. It becomes like a struggle to get there.
Yeah, and I know what I've done. I mean, we're both blessed in that we live quite near a forest here in Hampshire, in the south of the UK, an area called the New Forest. But even then, I've noticed I've kind of walked through it and not imbibed, just been so in my head.
Yeah, you don't take it in,
take it in, and then you've gone on an hour's walk and you thought, well, did I actually look at the colours of the trees, the different shades of green, or,
What tree formations did I actually see?
Exactly, yeah.
You just go on autopilot sometimes, don't you? Lost in your own thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's much like a lot of doggy walkers get in that mindset, don't they, where they're in nature, but it's almost like just a backdrop.
Yeah.
It's like, we're going, it's a pretty place to take the dog for a walk, but they're not really integrating with their surroundings.
Most of the times with their AirPods in,
Yeah, sure. Or normally they're staring at me when I say, hello.
Who's that weird guy?
Who's that weird guy trying to be friendly? But no, in terms of simplicity, it is key, trying to be at one with nature, connecting. I know they sound like cliches, but I know myself, I'm very much driven to get out in the forest as much as possible. I'm very much blessed because I'm literally a 20-minute walk away from the forest. So I'm looking forward to the spring coming and I can get to the forest after work. And of course, linking what we were talking about before in terms of simplicity and off-grid, a lot of people that go off-grid, obviously they're drawn to forests or woods, and that's where they will build, their homesteads and things.
Because they get to be in there all the time now.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So in terms of connecting with nature, of course, it's linked in with this idea of healing. And what we're talking about is different healing modalities. So often on the path towards self-exploration, self-discovery, this idea of living simply, we go out there and there's a whole smorgasbord, if you like, of different things like Reiki, yoga, meditation, chanting. You can join all these different groups. And it can all become a bit self-defeating because in the midst of it all, it's like, well, there's you. You're trying to heal yourself, but you're obsessed with finding this one healing system that works and you kind of lose the plot.
Yeah, I mean,
I've done it.
There is a lot out there to the point where I haven't even experienced all of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I still want to just to see what everything's like.
Yeah,
everything's worth a shot.
Yeah. Preferably a female-only sweat lodge under a certain age, yeah? In Sweden...
Good start. Wishful thinking and all, but yeah, it's definitely worthwhile just getting into something though.
Try and throw yourself in.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, healing is what we all need because we're all brought up with generations upon generations upon generations of people that literally have no idea what they're doing.
No.
And most of the time cause more damage than they solve.
Yeah.
And where our society is so kind of like against each other.
Yeah.
And the way it's been brought up, there is just so much damage that everyone just carries around with them.
Mm.
And this is what needs to be healed.
Mm. That's a great way of putting it, because we're so atomized, aren't we, as a society. And as you're saying, it's like, we're all going around with this huge veil of misunderstanding, and that's been passed through the generations. So where has the opportunity for healing? It doesn't ever seem to be there, does it? That's why it's so important.
And especially of the age we're in now, where things are moving forward, there is going to be a big consciousness shift.
Yeah, sure.
This is where we need the healing the most.
Mm.
So that's why I believe that all this stuff is really becoming more and more popular these days, because more and more people are getting into it because they instinctively know they need that healing.
Sure, yeah. And both of us have had experience of shamanic healing, and of course certain aspects of shamanic healing, we know you can heal not only backwards, the ancestral line, but the ancestral line forward as well. So it's very important that we do house clearing, as I call it. But it can be a bit difficult. The reason why we're talking about this point related to simplicity is that you can overcomplicate your life, can't you, by seeking all these different modalities and then losing the point, which is to over time internalize this healing and not keep going out there seeking it outside of ourselves, if that makes sense.
Definitely.
So what we always say is, find what kind of works and then stick with it. I mean, it sounds obvious, but because if the search just keeps going on, it can become self-defeating.
Yeah, because you never actually start healing yourself. You're just looking for the next thing to try.
Almost it's like you're... It can become a bit egoic because you're just looking for the next thing to make you feel nice. So you might just join this yoga group or this spiritual school because the people there make you feel good about yourself, but that's not really the point of healing, is it?
No, it's kind of the opposite.
I think what we can both point to also in terms of this idea of healing modalities and simplicity is it helps if you have a wise elder in the midst as well. Not many people have that, and we don't live in a culture, obviously, where that is even, you know, promoted, or we just see, you know, people who are older as just being geriatric and being a drain on society. But if you have someone in your life who is a genuine teacher and who is wise, it certainly does help, and we can both point to that, can't we?
Yeah, definitely.
It definitely definitely does help. So something else which is interesting to consider in terms of simplicity is knowledge. We can't really talk about simplicity without talking about knowledge in relationship to the internet, because I mean a lot of it is all there, isn't it? Okay, not all of it, you know. I don't think the mystery schools you know, put all of their knowledge out there online.
Not quite yet
But our listeners will know what we mean. I mean, it's all there. You can go to whatever workshop you want to go to, whatever retreat, or it's literally there in terms of information online in numerous YouTube clips, podcasts, you know, and all the rest of it. But what we were talking about here is you have to be quite discerning when it comes to knowledge, don't you, Mike?
Well, this is the biggest thing. Knowledge these days, because it's so accessible, we have the problem that we take information out of context these days.
Yeah.
So instead of learning the whole thing and then getting a grasp of the subject, we just take little bits from here, there and everywhere.
Do you mean like the little snapshots, the little sound bites? Yeah.
And then we try and build the picture based on that.
Yeah.
It's just a thing we naturally do because our brains are great at trying to fill in the missing gaps.
Yeah.
But it causes so much misunderstanding these days.
Mm.
Like the amount of spiritual stuff I've seen on the internet where you see people asking questions about it, and you can tell that the people asking questions, even though they're in that society, have no idea about the actual subject at hand because they've just got their own westernized view of it.
Sure, you know
what I mean.
And the other issue, of course, with the free, in a lot of cases, availability of information online and this idea of knowledge and being knowledgeable, people can set themselves up as being a shaman, as being a Reiki master, as being a tarot master, and they're nothing of the sort. All they've done is absorbed lots of information and knowledge, but they have no wisdom. They have no real, you know, felt experience on board.
Well, yeah, that is the other biggest thing about learning a lot online.
Yeah.
It comes with no wisdom at all.
No, no.
Because if you're not practicing the knowledge, you're not experiencing the knowledge.
No. And that's wisdom, of course.
Yeah. And that is our biggest problem these days. We might have fantastic, knowledgeable people who can build supercomputers, who can build particle accelerators, you know, our fantastic laptops, phones, and everything like that.
Yeah.
But with no wisdom around.
No.
We've almost lost our way.
Yeah, sure. So it's all about having discernment, again, when seeking knowledge, because what I would argue is, I know I've been guilty of this in the past, is you get into one subject online and then, you know, you might be on YouTube and then you get into another subject that's linked and then it's linked to that. And before you know it, your whole brain is just scattered. So I do that all the time. I'm trying to do it less and trying to live simply, I guess, is like just honing. I know from my own perspective, I would like to learn more about the tarot, which I know you do as well, Mike. Yep. And it's going to be a process of, right, okay, first of all, I'm going to find like a very, very good book that is recommended. And then from that point, make sure I'm joining knowledge, you know, on specific aspects of the tarot rather than just aimlessly, unconsciously look at YouTube clips or internet articles, which is so easy to do. And that's what we're saying in terms of simplicity of drawing on knowledge. You have to have this discernment on board, don't you? Otherwise, the brain just becomes overwhelmed. And the other thing is, you know, we don't have, you know, that much time. You can waste so much time if you're not using discernment, which when taken on board knowledge online, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, the amount of hours I've literally wasted on YouTube looking at random things that I thought, that might be interesting. 10 hours later,
yeah.
What am I doing with my life?
Yeah, so at least if you set, you know, a target of what it is you want to learn about, you can hone the knowledge coming in. And the other thing I've heard about this, Neil Cramer, who I'm very much into his work, he's like a researcher, a mystic, a philosopher, he's very popular online. What he talks about is like output and input. And what he talks about, I think this is, yeah, it's a chapter in his book called The Unfoldment. And he talks about this idea of if you're just drawing in too much, of course, one of which might be knowledge online, and you're not creatively out, there's not enough output, then you're out of balance. And I know in the internet age, when we're looking for sedation after a boring day, you know, not living our passion at work, it can be too easy to just, it's just input, and not enough creative output. What do you think about that, Mike?
I think you're very right there. I mean, I think that works on every level.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, just think about it. We are called by the companies consumers.
Yes.
So we're just consuming their input.
Sure, yeah.
And because we don't output in a way that's creative.
Yeah.
We have unbalance in our lives in that respect.
Yeah. I mean, that's another point linked to that, what you're talking about, Mike, is in order to live simply, of course, in the most profound way, is to be a bad consumer. And it's only really to buy what you need, because that is the embodiment of simplicity, isn't it, really?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I try to do that. It can be difficult at times, but I mean, you know, it's one thing I think that we can all do to live more simply. Just think before each purchase, do I actually really need that? Do you know what I mean?
Could I survive without it for a week?
Yeah, yeah.
Or two, or months.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Definitely. Because, you know, it's getting into that consumer mentality, which actually takes you away from, you know, the spiritual path, the simple path in that respect.
Mm. We touched upon it briefly, Mike, the idea of wisdom being obviously applied knowledge, of course, deep understanding. But the phrase wisdom, I guess, really would encompass all of what we're talking about here in terms of what simplicity is, isn't it?
Really? Yeah, because at the end of the day, each individual thing can only be known properly once you've experienced them.
Absolutely.
I mean, like, you know, I say that I struggle with that gratitude thing. I don't have the wisdom or the experience on board to say that.
You will, Mike.
That's a good thing. I've just read it online as being like, that's a good thing to practice, and thought, well, actually, it kind of makes sense, but I still need to go through the actions of it. So
absolutely. Yeah, and in terms of wisdom, I mean, you're quite right. I still struggle, as I said before, with the connecting with nature thing. It is crazy, as I say, I have the forest on my doorstep, and yet the amount of times I walk through and I haven't been conscious at all. I've been literally, for the whole hour, I've just been completely in my head, and it's that thing about just slowing down, and I think that's partly having that wisdom on board, isn't it, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah.
But we definitely struggle with that slowing down thing.
Yeah, because that is a key component of being simple, isn't it, of living a simple life, is to just slow things down, because it's all about rapidity. It's all about speed. You know, people get pissed off with you if you don't ping them back a text within seconds. And it's just this constant potentiality for conflict and confusion all the time, isn't it? As we spoke about, you know, on our episode on technology, it's one of the aspects of, you know, there's more unsavoury aspects.
Yeah, it's almost too much hyper-connectivity these days.
Yeah.
Like you said, with the too much input.
Yeah.
Too much input all the time. We physically can't deal with it all.
So, yeah, and I think what happens is, it's this idea of creating space. I think, so if we're too consumed by data coming in, perhaps that's why when we're walking through the forest or, you know, anywhere in nature, we can't consume, sorry, inappropriate word, we can't embody the energies of nature, because there's just too much going in our consciousness. You know, it's almost like we need to clear the vessel out for the subtle energies to come in.
Yeah, I wouldn't even just say clear the mental energies out. I would say clear the physical as well.
Sure, yeah.
Because
all the bodies. Yeah.
We actually collect too much stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And we just feel like we need it around us.
Yeah, yeah, and also of course, a lot of us are working in quite, you know, in terms of consciousness, quite toxic environments, and of course we're taking on we're taking all that on board from my colleagues at work, you know, and I don't mean that in a horrible way, but it's a fact.
Yeah, it's just the way it happens, yeah.
You know, a lot of unconscious people. And I don't mean about we need to put up these, you know, barriers, these psychic defences, but obviously if we're working in very dense in terms of consciousness environments, then that's going to affect us, isn't it? And then you throw in, you know, if you're looking at a screen all day with the lighting and the environment you're in, again, it's going to affect us in a deeply negative way, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's why we've got to try and, you know, do the practices, learn things to do online to actually help yourself with that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, your life could go in very different, nasty directions if you, you know, get affected by that too much.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's if you're overloaded, it's very difficult to be discerning when you're overloaded, you know, even with knowledge and other people's energies. So there is that healing process. Just
can't think straight.
Absolutely. Yeah. So in this first section, what we've outlined for our listeners is what we mean by simplicity, you know, the sort of general, you know, overall aspect of what simplicity is. In the second part of this episode, we're going to talk about, well, how do you live a simple life? It's very easy, isn't it, to talk about the simple path. But, you know, how do you embody? So this is like how-to guide then, Mike, you know.
Yeah, so I just want to say that I'm a sort of person who's going through quite a lot of changes at the moment. Because I've realised if I want to get from where I am to be where I want to be, I need to make quite a lot of changes to get there.
Sure.
And the first part you've got to understand if you want to make changes is... Yeah. You've got to somehow, in some way, take a personal responsibility for where you are in your life at that moment. Because at the end of the day, it's thanks to your choices that you're there.
That's a great point, Mike, because I think what I've known in my own life, through working on some of my baggage, be it emotional or psychological, I've realised that there's no one else to blame but myself. And I know for quite a lot of people... it can be just too easy to blame your parents, your environment, the government, the Illuminati, whoever you want to blame. But, you know, but at the same time as having this responsibility and recognising you are where you are, that's for good reason. And at the same time, as we spoke about before, you're still this sovereign, empowered human being. So don't get overwhelmed or beat yourself up if you're in a position whereby you think, Christ, how am I going to get out of this situation and move on?
Well, I have to admit, taking responsibility for yourself and the fact that you're in whatever situation you're in is almost a part of realising your self-sovereignty. Because, you know, you're saying, well, it is my fault, it is my problem, and I've got to do something to change it. That's like the first
step. That's where you get the empowerment from, don't you, really?
And honestly, you can't make changes in your life ever if you don't take that responsibility.
No.
At the end of the day, it will just circle back to the same situation.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a bit like what will happen, and I know this has happened to me in the past because of some psychological baggage. I've often fallen out with managers, and it was only when I realised that there was some issue, say, with a parent, with one of my parents, whereby I expected them to behave in a certain way because they were like an authority figure. That was playing out with managers in various cases. So I'd often fall out of a manager. It's only when I realised, hold on, this has got nothing to do with the manager in this situation. It's unresolved issues to do with a parent. And until I healed that through shamanic healing, now I don't take, you know, the issues with a manager if I feel that they're not treating me properly or my colleagues. I don't take it so personally because I've worked to heal on that aspect, if that makes sense. And again, you know, once you do that, you can realise, oh, I am responsible. But until you go through that healing process, it's very difficult to take on that responsibility, isn't it?
Definitely. I mean, I struggled that for a while.
Yeah.
Getting there.
Absolutely. So the first aspect, once you've taken on responsibility, Mike, is this idea of setting goals.
Yeah. So if you're someone who actually has never actually made proper choices in your life, decided, you know, never to get anywhere, is just lazing through life. It's almost the scariest thing ever to actually decide, what do I want? And like we keep saying, be discerning about it. Just don't write anything on this list. I mean, it's all right to in a brainstorm, but then you've got to boil it down to, like, you know, 5-6 things that you really want. Say that year, 5 years' time, 10 years' time down the line.
Short-term, medium, long-term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's not until you set those goals that you can actually achieve them.
And a more zoomed out, kind of a higher mystical level, how can the universe, how can this be manifest, or how can the universe help you to bring this about if you're not imagining it in your mind? It's like, you know.
Exactly. You have to create it from within.
Absolutely.
To create it without.
Yeah, I've heard this phrase, I'm not sure who said it, someone quite eminent said, you know, it's almost like 50% of your own work, right? And 50% then the universe will bring about opportunities, synchronicities to make your vision happen. But you have to have your vision in the first place, and that's part of setting goals.
Yeah. And to be honest, don't just write these goals down and leave them somewhere.
No, you've got to integrate them into your imagination. And
so you almost like go within each goal and set smaller little steps to how to achieve it.
Yeah.
You know, break it down. What do you do tomorrow, the next day? What are you going to do next week to achieve those goals?
Sure, yeah.
And you've also got to feed these goals with energy.
Mm.
So you've actually got to put the work in, which is the toughest part. Because at the end of the day...
That's required discipline, yeah.
Because at the end of the day, they say that man cannot remake himself without suffering. For he is both the marble and the sculptor.
Absolutely.
And that's an amazing quote by Alex Carrel.
Right. Yeah, I've heard it. I didn't know who it was.
And that just beautifully says that actually, the hardest thing for us is to try and initiate change.
Sure, yeah.
Because, you know, it's comfy and it's easier not to.
Sure, yeah.
And I have to admit, when it comes to setting goals, don't be scared either.
Sure.
Because sometimes you can not write a goal down just because you're scared you won't actually achieve it.
Yeah, absolutely. You're talking about being comfortable, being stuck where we are. Our resident shaman, Heather Heaton, often uses the phrase, which I like very much, is we get used to this shitty nappy. And I think a lot of her clients who she works with basically have got comfortable, as we all do, with the shitty nappy. And it's a great metaphor, isn't it?
Definitely.
It's quite warm, you know.
Yeah, we've got used to it now. We might as well just keep it on
because,
you know, changing that nappy is, you know, that's awkward. We don't want to go through that.
Yeah.
And that's really what it is. But we have to go through this process.
Mm.
And do you know what? It doesn't matter if you even fail a couple of times.
No.
It's the act of trying every
day. And that is, as we're linking it here, that is a key component of living simply and the simple path. As we're saying, it's not just opting out, you know, of difficulties. Because, you know, taking responsibility very often causes chaos and challenges. And we're like, why the hell did I take that course of action?
Yep. So everything can be thrown out of whack when you try and, you know, incorporate these changes. But I almost like linking this to a visual metaphor.
Yeah.
Of a glass where you've got a layer of muck and mud on the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the water on top is perfectly clear.
Yeah.
Things seem fine.
Yeah.
But the only way you can really get that mud out.
Sure. Is by creating a disturbance.
Is by creating more, by pouring more water in.
Sure,
you just keep pouring water in.
Yeah.
These are the changes you're making.
Mm.
And whilst that's happening, all this mud is being flung around everywhere. Mm. But eventually, it's all going to pour over the top.
Sure.
And you'll just have
and
a nice...
And it'll be released from the bottom.
Yeah, and you'll just have a nice glass of water with no mud in it.
Mm. That sounds like a lifetime's work.
It really is. And, you know, it depends how you do it. If you do it without gratitude, each day is a struggle.
I mean, and then at the end, you have a simple, nice, clear glass of water, Mike. I like, it's a great metaphor. I like that. Yeah. And at times, you just want to pick up the glass and sling it against the wall, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And why am I pouring more water into this glass? Yeah, it can be. But that's a great way of looking at it. And realising also that it's degrees as well at the end of the day, you know, and it's levels. You're not going to just get a huge, 10-pint jug and pour all that water in to disturb the mud and stones too drastically. It's a process. And that's, again, about being, simplicity. You don't want to completely overwhelm yourself.
Definitely. That's a very important point, is don't try and make too many changes at once.
Because you will crash.
Yeah. I've been there many times. Just try, so a nice method I heard was if you try and make one or two changes a month.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep to those changes for a 30-day period, say.
Mm.
And that's a good way to build in a habit, you know, especially if you want to make these changes a consistent thing.
Sure. Is that how long it takes then, generally, about 30 days?
They say about 30 days to get yourself into a habit. Sure.
So that just becomes your new existence, your new routine, if you like.
Well, that's the aim at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, because I've struggled many times with setting myself a New Year's resolution and never actually achieving it.
Mm.
You know, not even close.
Yeah.
One time it was 2 days in. No, over.
It's the classic January office work conversation, isn't it? It's like, how many days did it take?
Yeah, and that's because we just made it a too big thing, you know, a whole year of sticking to this.
Yeah.
No, just a month.
Mm.
Just a month and then go on to another change.
Mm.
And the more of these you accomplish over time, the closer you're going to be to your goals at the end of the day.
Mm. And in terms of, you know, whilst going through these challenges and this chaos and feeling like your whole being is being wrenched asunder, try and be philosophical. I know it sounds like a cliche, and not to worry too much, because as is always mentioned, everything is part of the journey. Even those sleepless nights, even that pain, and it is really horrible, those moments, as we all experience them.
Yeah.
And, you know, in that thing when you're not sleeping at 3 o'clock in the morning, if someone just popped out the ether and said, by the way, don't worry, be philosophical, you'd probably just want to punch them.
Yeah, I totally get you there, you know, especially when you're angry and annoyed. Yeah. But this is where the whole gratitude and humility thing really come into their own.
Sure,
because those will get you through those periods.
Because
if you just start remembering, what do you have thanks for? You know, what are you glad is in your life? And you start remembering, well, actually, it's not too bad.
Yeah. And the other thing that I always try to think of, you know, when I might be in those kinds of spaces, which our listeners might be, is to think, well, the one thing about the universe, you know, the universal existence or the truth of existence is the constancy of change. So, okay, I'm feeling really, really bad like this, but I know it's going to change.
Everything changes.
Yeah.
Yep. Like you say, it is a constant of the universe.
Yeah.
And sometimes we struggle with changes because we're so used to what we have. But the whole idea with, you know, making these changes to better yourself is so things are better than you've had them.
Mm. And in terms of the simple path and simplicity, I think that once you're going through these changes, it is a bit like things in your head do feel a bit lighter. It's I feel almost when you've got these unresolved issues, it's almost like there's this hard, dense material in your mind, and when you go through this healing process, it kind of breaks that up. It's a bit like your metaphor of the mud and the gravel, but your consciousness becomes a little bit lighter, a little bit purer. Do you know what I mean? So you can think clearer, so you can be more, you know, have more gratitude, so you can have more wisdom. But it's almost like you've got to go through the suffering part in order to come, you know, to the wisdom part, if that makes sense.
Well, unfortunately, that's the only way to do it.
Yeah.
And if someone has not suffered,
yeah,
they're not truly wise at all.
No, no, absolutely. And, of course, as we know, they make the best kind of teachers as well, because, as we were talking about before, in terms of the free availability of knowledge, there are quite a lot of charlatans out there. So.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, if you got everything right all the time, never made a mistake, how would you know what things were like if you had made a mistake?
Mm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think then once you feel like you're achieving something in terms of the goals you've set and these changes that are coming about and that you are taking on board these challenges, life feels more simple in that there's not so much to do and plan for. Does that make sense? Because at the beginning, it's like, oh my God, I've got so much to change. It's so complex. But then as things begin to move and in different areas of your life, you know, you may be healing yourself, or things might be moving forward in a positive way, albeit slowly at first, it does become more simple because you feel like, well, there's less I need to change about myself. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Not only that, there's actually the snowball effect of it building momentum.
Yes.
Like you said earlier about you put 50% of the energy in and the universe compensates by putting the other 50% in. So the more you actually start getting used to making changes, sure. the more you start putting your energy into these changes, the more the universe will say, well, here's what you want.
Yeah, sure. But it's like we can only do that, you know, or the universe, I should say, can only do that once we've done the graft. It's almost like the magic of life comes in once we've done enough grafting. You know what I mean? But before that, it's just like we're playing at it. And the universe or cosmos is looking at us going, well, I don't know, I can't help you. You know, if you think in terms of metaphysics, we're not literally putting those creative steps forward. So we're not putting those energies out there. So how can the universe respond?
Definitely.
You know, so it's not an easy thing. But obviously, if you can put in, have the fortitude and the resolve, then the universe will almost don its cap, you know, and beautifully... your life may change in ways you never thought possible.
Definitely.
That sounded quite poetic. It was good for me.
But one of the biggest things I would say is never get disheartened on this journey.
Yeah.
I will admit I've gotten very frustrated at times, sure. and I most of you will still get very frustrated sure. in the future.
Yeah.
Because we always want that change now.
Sure.
But like you were saying, it takes time to build these changes.
And I think for both of us being... quite intelligent people, can't even say the word, intelligent people, that can be a bit of a hindrance, can't it? Because, I mean, you get good at the planning stuff, but then I know from myself, I'm good at that, but then I'm flitting between lots of things. That might be because I'm a Gemini, and I like to flit, and I like to have new incoming vectors all the time. But I just think generally, if you're an intelligent person, you can over-strategize, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't actually put energies into... making the changes.
Doing the changes.
You put the energies into making a plan to make the changes.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, I can relate to that, as I'm sure many of our listeners can.
It's a big trap.
Yeah.
It's easily fallen into.
Yeah. So we hope we've given you some sort of guidance from our own personal experience, anyway.
Yep.
You know, in terms of what simplicity is, living a simple life, or working towards it. And in this last section... how you might go about it. I mean, we've used the words simple and simplicity, but obviously they're all lots of interchangeable words. You could say the conscious path, or, you know, becoming more loving, or, you know, connecting to God, whatever words you want to use, really. You know, I just like the word simple because I wish my life was more simple.
I think everyone does.
Absolutely. So we just round things up here, Mike, and... talking about happiness, because I like this idea of using it, relating it towards simplicity. And I've just come up with this quote. I don't know, I didn't steal it off anyone, did I? No, I think I came up with it. So, happiness is fleeting, but contentment lasts a lifetime. So what I mean by that really is this idea of kind of generating or cultivating simplicity in your life is something that eventually, hopefully, becomes... the entirety of your existence, if I'm making sense, you know. So it's not like a fleeting thing, like happiness. It's really like striving towards contentment, which, you know, becomes an integral part of your consciousness over time.
I'm all with you on that.
Yeah, that's what we're striving towards anyway.
Because they do say that everyone just wants happiness, but like you said, it is fleeting and momentary.
Yeah.
That's why we always have to buy ourselves new things to make ourselves happy again.
Yes, exactly. We want that lift, don't we? So, yeah, right. Well, we hope you've all enjoyed listening to this episode. It's been great to have Mike on as my first official guest.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No problem. And I'm sure you'll be back very soon. So for now, we're just signing off and look forward to chatting to you soon again. Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye. The long and winding road. Disappear. I've seen that road before. It always leads me here. Lead me to your door. The wild and windy. Thank you.
let me know the way. Many times I've been alone, and many times I've cried. Anyway, you'll never know the many ways I've tried. And still they lead me back to the long winding road. You left me standing here a long, long time ago.